We meet him now at the end of his youth. An important event on July 25th, 1773, is Goya's wedding. There was no need to say a lot about her, as Madame Goya never played any role in her husband's development. Nevertheless, she's an exquisite woman and a good housekeeper, but that's about it. On the other hand, there is her family, that is of very great importance, as this woman is Rosella Bayeux, the sister of the two most highly regarded painters at the time in Madrid. Ramon Bayeux, of whom we have talked already, and his brother, the better painter, Francisco Bayeux. In order to give away the sister to the young Goya, they had to believe in Goya and his future. In fact, the two most highly regarded painters of Madrid launched the career of the young Goya. Madrid in those days was in dire need of painters. There had been two marvelous ones, but one died and the other one left. The dead one is Tiepolo, he just had died. The other one, Raphael Mengs, who was considered a major painter at that time, had taken the first stagecoach to get to Rome, where juicier commissions were waiting for him. So Madrid finds herself without a painter. In a town poor in painters, even the inferior is of great importance. It was Ramon and Francisco Bayeux who pushed Goya into the world of painting, by the back door. The king tried to relaunch the production of tapestry at Santa Barbara in order to breach the monopoly of French and Flemish tapestry production. A Spanish school and factory was needed, and it was Santa Barbara that developed very quickly to arrive at the level of the other great European factories. Cartoons were needed. The green painters hated doing cartoons. It's a very tiring role to be a cartoonist. The Bayeux refused and pushed Goya into it, who started the adventure of his cartoons. By contract, he had to produce cartoons for 20 years, from 1773 till 1793. His face ties him with that of Santa Barbara. As a matter of fact, these cartoons have all been preserved and are exhibited at the Prado. They belong to the masterpieces of the first maturity of Goya, and we're going to see a series of them. What will show us up to what point Goya stays in the tradition of tapestry with its amiable, bucolic, Arcadian side to it that was so much à la mode in the 18th century, and how he already detached himself from it. The parasol. This is the work that gives itself best to the tradition of the 18th century. It could be a cartoon of Boucher or of Fragonard, but it's so much better. Still, it is in the spirit of Boucher and Fragonard. It became one of the biggest successes among Goya light subjects. We find ourselves right in the years 1773 to 1775. The series of the first commissions is already there. The factory floor shouts out. How can you reproduce the transparency of the shadow green on the face of the young woman, just with wool? They were right. These cartoons of Goya's are horribly difficult to transfer. The painter should take care to restrict himself a little when it comes to weaving. A detail. The dog, who has eaten too much and is just on the brink of sickness. It's totally flowing, but it also is in the spirit and the tradition of the Rococo. The first work is completely in the spirit of the day. Le Jeu de Colin Maillard. The second work is still in the spirit of Rococo. It's a work of an astonishing elegance and bearing. It fits perfectly in the tradition of its time. The games of town and countryside were the subject of a series of tapestries equally at home in France as in Flanders. Iconographically, technically, Goya moves perfectly in the spirit of the day, but something exceptionally phantom-like in the grouping of people distinguishes Goya from all the others working in tapestry. As the works begin to stream past, one notices a growing quaintness, a lady underneath a parasol, a game of blind man's buff. Very nice. but the crockery merchant is already more strange. As the commissions multiplied slowly by slowly and the satisfaction of the customers allowed, Goya knew he could dare subjects more bizarre, like in the city gate market of Madrid. An equipage is just about to pass by, but the important bit is the crockery merchant in the foreground, with a wonderful sense of composition in general, but mainly an extraordinary attention to detail. One has to see the loving care of the representation of the porcelain, just stunning. Poor weavers! And above all, one has to observe even more in this work, which is still from the beginnings, the confrontations Goya draws so much from along his whole career of youth and old age, the young woman and the chaplain at her side. They are already there, in the bed, hardly conscious of antinomy, the opposites that will be so typical in Goya's dramatic narrative. It's so beautiful that we get closer to see how stunning the ball is made.